The Midweek Horror Podcast is supported by Horrified, the website that celebrates and champions British horror, covering films, television, books, fiction, and more. You can visit Horrified at horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Horrified Mag.
This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Alice Reed.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I'm Alice Reed.
And I'm full of mash.
We have had a very unusual meal tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, it was not what we expected.
Yeah, well, it wasn't what we ordered. No. Never mind expected. So Deliveroo, God bless their souls, the driver must have had two orders from Nando's in similar size bags, and they just gave us the wrong one. So after some negotiation with the very helpful customer support service person at Deliveroo, we got a refund, and I said, well, what should we do with the wrong food? And they said, you can keep it or dispose of it. She actually said, or dispose of it respectfully.
Respectfully.
Like, yes, yeah, yeah. Based on a name. Yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, sir, it's still food.
Please, have some respect for it.
Yeah, I don't think English was the first language. From her name, I think she might have been French. She encouraged me to dispose of it respectfully. Well, we had to eat it because we had nothing else for tea.
That was our tea, yeah.
What a random order it was there.
So it was insane. It was, never have I ever ordered so many carbs in one meal.
They had the mash.
They'd had the monster mash.
Two mashes,
yeah.
One spicy rice, garlic bread, and also they were vegetarians, which was good because Hannah is a vegetarian.
Yeah, so that was lucky.
Yeah. So we had the pretend chicken, and you had the wrap because that was the spicier of the two.
Yeah.
And I had a massive ring of pineapple and four slices of pretend chicken in a bun. It was actually quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, the wraps are very nice. I just felt kind of weird as I was piling mash and rice onto a slice of garlic bread.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. It was carb-tastic. So as with our last episode, I have to warn the listeners at home, this might be a slightly low-energy podcast.
We might just conk out at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. I could just rest my eyes now, actually, as I'm speaking.
Yeah, it's sitting heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that was our interesting evening. But, you know, we got to try Nando's mash, which I've never ordered before.
That was
certainly
nice,
not
wasn't
with
it?
The rest of the,
yeah, yeah,
the carby menu, but hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So there was that. But what else have you been up to?
What else have I been up to? I got to see a horror film called Followers, which is an independent British film. I got a review screen of it so I could review it for Horrified, the website, horrifiedmagazine.com. How do you know? They've heard the bit at the beginning. They know the URL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, actually. It was done in a sort of mockumentary style. And it's about a young, disgraced social media star who's going to university. And he decides to vlog about his experiences as a fresher in the hope of establishing himself as a influencer. And the house he shares with three other people turns out to be haunted. So he quickly pivots to making ghost-themed content because it gets a lot of likes. It's very satirical. The characters are quite, you know, they're quite broad. It's not like out-and-out sitcom, but it's definitely satirical, you know, satirizing influencers and the whole 15 minutes of fame culture. It's really well put together in terms of the production. So after he posts a vlog, it will, like, do this little montage of reaction videos to his vlog that his regular viewers have filmed. It hangs together really nicely.
That's
cool,
actually.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it.
It's called Followers.
Followers.
And very sadly, so the director, Marcus Harben, after they finished it, he passed away.
Oh, that is sad.
So it is both his directorial debut and also it's his first and his last film, basically. And it's a real shame to see that, well, obviously it's a real shame. But yeah, like if he was still around, I heard he had a new film coming out, I'd definitely be adding it to my watch list and keeping an eye for it coming out. So yeah, very sad.
Oh, well, that's a shame, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. And, you know, we still have that to be remembered by.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's getting a cinema release as well. It might in fact be out already. Let me have a look. I'll edit this out.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know why I thought that would work. Like, just making up, I just typed in followersmovie.co.uk, and obviously that's not how the internet works. I'm actually going to have to go to horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and look at my own article to get the detail. Where the hell is my article? Here we go. Yeah, it's actually getting a cinematic release in View and Showcase cinemas. It should already be out because they were going to release it on 18th March. So yeah, if it sounds like your sort of thing, check it out.
I've got a Showcase, actually, a nice little one around the back of me. I might go see if it's playing.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely, yeah, do.
Sounds good.
Do.
So I haven't watched anything fresh this week, but I did finish Fear Street. Do you remember I had that one part?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved it. It was great fun. Yeah, really, really, really good. I would recommend it. Had a nice little sort of twist, I would say, at the end as well. So
if you had to rank the three parts, what order would you put them in?
Oh, it's tricky because, well, I really liked 1 and 3. I liked 2 as well, but 2 was the one I liked the least. The less? God, I can't speak.
Yeah.
The least.
It was a little bit the Two Towers, was it?
Yeah. Do you know? Yeah. It was that. It's like, yeah, it was good and it made sense with the rest of the story. Like it tied, you know, all the bits tied together. But it just wasn't as good as the other two bits. So probably I would go 1, 3, 2. But 1 and 3 were very close.
Yeah,
and actually, good. I think some people would prefer 3. But I just really like 1. So I would recommend it. It might be, some people might think it was a bit kind of a bit of a teen movie, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah, that was it for this week. But yeah, it was good.
I've got a little bit of horror news.
Mm.
So do you remember a couple of podcasts ago, we listened to and reviewed an excellent audio drama based on Charles Dickens's The Signalman?
Yep.
And I was telling you about how Baffelgab Productions have done loads of cool stuff. And one of their long-running series is called The Scarifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So they have just released an audiobook.
Ooh.
It's not a full cast adaptation this time, but it's read by one of the main characters from The Scarifiers, and it's about The Scarifiers, and it's called An American Werewolf in Ludlow.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so I've snapped that up.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
Well, here's a nice little detail. 100% of the proceeds are going to the Disasters Emergency Committee Ukraine Humanitarian Appeal.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, it costs a fiver, but you can pay more if you want. And I tell you what else I saw, which I bought. So when I was going to buy it, I also saw that on Bandcamp they have an option where you get 50% off if you buy all their releases on Bandcamp as MP3s.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's about £68, but you must be getting about 50 hours of content or something ridiculous like that. So all the Scarifiers, yeah. The adaptation of The Hellbound Heart, the adaptation of The Signalman, also their adaptation of The Blood on Satan's Claw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, loads of great stuff. So I picked that up as well. And some of them I actually already had. But for 50% off, it was still a bargain. So, yeah, it's worth doing. Have a look for Baffelgab. Find their Bandcamp and just buy all of them.
I found it. Yeah. Excellent. Well, that sounds really good. I'll have a proper look later. But, yeah, I think I've got it on Bandcamp.
Yeah, magical.
Great. And what a good cause as well.
Yeah, superb. And to the people at home, if you're not familiar with Baffelgab Productions, get right into them. They're superb.
And actually, when you mentioned The Scarifiers before, I thought that sounded really good fun. So I've been keen to get on that.
Last time we talked about it, I couldn't remember exactly when it was set.
No.
It's set in the 30s, and it's two elderly gentlemen who work for MI13.
Nice.
Investigating paranormal cases. And each one tends to be a pastiche of something different. So, you know, there might be one that's about Rasputin and another one that's about the Loch Ness Monster. There was one called The Gnomes of Death, which seems to be about gnomes.
And death, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't think I've listened to that one yet.
Sounds good, though. I like it when they do like a bit of a different...
Yeah, exactly.
Different theme almost every week.
You know, they're covering a real range of sub-genres of horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. One of my favourite series. Beautiful. So tonight, we're going to be watching quite an obscure British indie horror film called The Fallow Field. And I can't remember. I know last time we did a podcast, we read the blurb on the back. I think it's something about a man who has amnesia.
Yeah, he has amnesia. And then when he comes back, if I remember rightly, it's like his everything in his life sort of going a bit wrong. Like his wife...
Thinks he was having an affair.
Yeah. And like, I think just everything starts to go wrong and he doesn't kind of know what's happened or why. So quite confusing.
The cover of the DVD... Now, sometimes indie releases have a cover that doesn't accurately reflect the film, but it shows like a zombie's hand being thrust up from the earth.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's got the undead in it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
We love a bit of undead.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So how about we have a quick look at the trailer?
Yeah.
And then report back. Tell the guys at home what we thought about it.
Yes. Do you know why that threw me? Because I did a thumbs up. And then I thought, you know what? The listeners can't see me with my thumb up.
No, they can't. They can't. For the benefit of the tape, Hannah did a thumbs up.
It was a strong thumbs up.
Yeah, very much so. Right, to the jingle.
Jingle! Right, well, we're post-trailer. What did you think?
I thought it looked really good.
It did.
It looked a bit low budget, but it looked like stylish low budget. You know, like care had gone into the photography.
Yeah.
And so on. Like that opening shot, a beautiful sort of misty, bleak field with the crows going, "Quah! Quah!"
Yeah. Very well shot. And lots of nice kind of scenes of fields and woods and country as he's kind of stumbling back from wherever he's been.
Yeah, which seems to be a farm.
Yeah.
Where there's a sort of scary barn filled with murderous-looking implements and, like, blood on a table.
Yeah.
The impression I got from that was there's a farmer who's, like, a serial killer, and maybe he had some traumatic ordeal while he was there.
Good thinking, yeah.
And that's why he's entered a fugue state. That's what I can't remember. There's a great scene where you see a dark figure sort of in a hallway, and then he sort of supernaturally quickly lunges towards the camera. So maybe there is some supernatural shenanigans going on.
Near the end, it was quite a kind of fast montage of different things happening, wasn't there? So, lots of shots in the barn. A girl having a cloth put over her face.
Yeah.
Being grabbed. What else was there? I mean, there's a lot of the barn. But yeah, that's sort of lots of shots. You're not quite sure what's going on.
So something that, based on that trailer, I'm now thinking again about the DVD cover. Because that hand coming out of the ground might just be a body buried in a shallow grave.
True.
You'd think if you were burying someone, you'd notice if you'd left a hand sticking out. But the point I'm making is it might not be a zombie. It might just be a dead body that's been disposed of.
Like you say, it would be a bit sloppy, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Killers are.
Yeah. I thought it looked good.
It looked eerie and I'm intrigued.
Yeah, definitely. I'll make a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just going to be a solid 4 stars.
And I'm not just saying this to copy you. I thought exactly the same. And obviously, you've got to consider it is a lower budget than, say, Malignant that we watched last week, or last time, rather. But I think it looked like thought had gone into it. They've really thought about the locations and how they're shooting the shots. It looks scary.
There's some artistry on display, creative.
So I think you're right. I think it's going to be a solid 4.
I'm always happy to watch low budget films, especially stylish ones. For me, it's no different to the sort of accommodations you make in your own mind when you go into the theatre.
Yeah.
You know, there's differing levels of suspension of disbelief. So if a film is sort of stylish and creative and interestingly done, I'm prepared to meet it halfway if maybe some of it, like some of the sets or whatever, end up being a bit creaky.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all. I watch a lot of low-budget films. And do you remember one of our favourite films that we watched together? I think was made for about £200, The Demonic Tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
very good.
Is on Amazon Prime. And a lot of people have given that bad reviews, but we loved it.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Freaky.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So that's what the trailer's like. How about we fire up the old projector, open the wine gums.
Yeah.
Watch a bit of a film.
Let's do it.
Yeah, to the jingle. That was short.
Bum, 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 bum.
We're back. I have got a request to make.
Oh.
Can we, for one night only, bring back the spoiler-free section?
Okay, sure.
My logic being, you don't look convinced.
No, I'm intrigued. I'm interested as to why.
My logic being that because so few of our usual listeners would have seen this film already.
That's true, actually.
We could do a little spoiler-free review, then have a jingle.
Okay.
And then get into spoilers.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay, super. What did you think of the fallow field?
I thought it was really well done. I thought they had a really interesting little story. There had been a lot of love and care taken over it. It was very well shot. There were some really good characters, some great acting, really nice scenery, a real sense of sort of fear and foreboding.
Something I found quite impressive. Something that I think must be quite hard when you're making a low-budget film must be to get away from the feeling that you're just twatting about with a camera, filming your mates doing stuff. And I thought they did that very well. And that was partly the photography. It was partly the score. It had a very 80s score at parts. But it was also just, I think, at times it was quite imaginatively put together. So there's a farm that a lot of the action revolves around. Mm. And when he's about to stumble upon the farm, he's walking through this almost like tunnel of trees.
Yeah.
And the camera keeps cutting between his point of view and his face. And in some of the scenes, there's like glare behind his head and stuff. And it just felt a bit otherworldly. You know, they'd really sort of made it feel like almost like he was going down the rabbit hole a bit.
Yeah.
Into some unfolding mystery.
Yeah.
Whereas in other hands, that could have felt just like, all right, you walk through these trees, I'll follow you with this camera.
Yeah, a bit nothing. It wouldn't have had the same effect. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think for a small production, they did really well at sort of investing it with that slight otherworldly glamour of cinema. I think that worked really well. And actually, to me, in a weird way, it didn't feel that low budget. It just felt old.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
Like sometimes some of the scenes made me think about like shows from like the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing.
If you watch the original Hellraiser now, a lot of the sort of quality of the picture and the sound wouldn't be that different to what we just watched.
No, you're probably right, actually.
So, yeah, I thought it was a really good production.
Yeah, I thought really well put together. A nice little story as well. A bit different.
It was definitely different. It was the sort of story that keeps you guessing a bit.
Yeah.
You know, the unfolding mystery around his amnesia and why he feels drawn to this farm. I thought that was the main thing that kept my interest as a viewer.
Yeah.
Was thinking, what the hell is going on here? And more than once being surprised or a bit wrong-footed when I thought I had the measure of it. And also a couple of scares, a couple of good scares. I think the one we saw in the trailer where the dark figure moves very rapidly towards the camera.
Oh, yes, yeah, that was good. Yeah,
I think when you see it in its proper context, that is really quite a scary moment.
That was really good, yeah. That was really well filmed, actually, because that lunge was really sudden. When the scary figure lunges towards him. That was really good.
And we knew exactly that was coming because we'd seen the trailer, but it still shit me up.
Definitely. For me, it was more the sense of what might happen. So actually, you didn't see anything that was particularly horrific.
No.
But there was always the threat
of
that. And for me, that was more what kept me on the edge of my seat, really.
The building tension.
Mm.
I felt, yes, I agree, but I think there were times when they almost did that to a fault, where maybe I felt like some passages were a bit too ponderous and slow.
Yeah, agreed.
But it was still a strength of the film. It was just it worked better in some scenes than others. I thought the acting was, pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was very good.
For an independent production, There is a character who appears late, who I thought, nothing wrong with his performance. There was a bit of a funny scene where he just starts blurting out his life story. Where the main character is trying to unpick a lock.
Oh, yeah.
And that story, I felt, could have been cut down a bit.
Yeah. I thought that with a few of the scenes, though. If they'd been cut down slightly, it wouldn't have lost anything. Some of them went on a little bit too long, and I found myself thinking, okay. This is going on a bit long.
It was definitely quite a slow-paced film.
Yeah. Good use of the darkness throughout, I thought.
That
was really good, because I think if you are doing a low-budget film, you can't always have, you know, the kind of big, beautiful scenes. But if you're in the darkness, kind of creeping around, you can make things look quite eerie and you can hide things well. It's easier to make people jump because things can jump out of the darkness.
So that
was used really well.
What would you give it stars-wise?
So I think overall I would go with the 4. It wasn't the type of film I like as much, but that wasn't their fault, if you know what I mean. For how well I thought that film was put together and for the storyline and the acting and everything, I would have to say 4.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I'm happy with a 4.
Mm.
Wow, this spoiler-free section is really sapping our energy.
What a terrible idea of mine.
I might edit this out completely.
I think it's okay. I agree with you, because I think not many people are going to have watched this. So if you kind of tell everyone what's happened, no one's going to want to go and watch it as much.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you.
I think my closing summary on the spoiler-free section is it's an attractively made, interesting film.
Yeah.
Well worth a watch.
With a good idea.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. You've not seen anything quite like this.
No.
I would say.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
I think you were right to get rid of the spoiler-free section.
I think generally, but I do agree with you for this one. I think it works.
Because I've sort of secretly resented you for a long time.
for many reasons.
Yeah, but now we've done one. I'm remembering, oh, hello, that's my Pepsi Max fizzing up. I'm remembering, oh yeah, this section did used to be a bit shit.
No, I think it's good. I think it's fine. I think we just stop like here and then we move on.
Okay.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
So everyone, we're heading into spoiler territory now.
Yeah, and I'll put the jingle in.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, spoiler territory. So the big kind of weird secret thing, for anyone who doesn't know and wants to know, is that the main character, Matt, who has amnesia, although he can't remember much, he sort of remembers where he might have been, and he ends up going back to this farm. Now, when he's on this farm, he meets this farmer who's very weird, and frankly, I wouldn't have stayed there a second with that guy.
No.
But Matt does. And what you think is happening initially is that Matt and this farmer are having a conversation, gets a bit weird and heated, and Matt gets killed by this farmer.
Yeah.
But then the next thing you see is Matt waking up, and I thought they'd gone back in
flashback.
Time.
Flashback, I thought it was a flashback.
I thought it was a complete flashback. But how it turns out is that this farmer is a weird psycho serial killer, but he has discovered this really weird thing where if he buries dead people in his field, they come back to life. The field that nothing ever grows, but it is like the fountain of eternal youth, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Matt is brought back again and again, but every time he loses his memory. I really like the idea of this field bringing people back. I thought it was a really cool original or semi-original idea. I've not seen a film like that before.
So that bit, that particular detail, you know, you could say, okay, well, Pet Sematary did it. You could say Pet Sematary did it. The Wakewood did it.
I've not seen that, but Pet Sematary.
Great film. I love The Wakewood. So what was really original about this film is because the farmer is a nutcase, he's using this to sort of be a serial killer guilt-free.
Yeah.
So he's abducting people, murdering them, but then he buries them in his magic field. And then just sort of leaves them by the roadside because he knows that when they come round, they'll have amnesia. The last thing they will remember will be before he abducted and killed them. So he's sort of just using it to fulfill his murderous urges.
Get his kicks.
Yeah, like he's a proper lunatic.
Yeah.
But the one oddity, and apparently this has happened several times before, is Matt, although like all the others, he gets amnesia. After a while, he starts getting sort of vague flashbacks that lead him back to the farm. And there's a scene close to the beginning where the farmer sort of like takes the bag off his head and says, do you know me? Do you remember me? And Matt's like, no. And he says, you will. You always remember me.
Mm.
And partway through their time together, Matt remembers being killed and buried in the ground and actually being in the ground. So they're sort of stuck in this weird loop, like not a time loop, but just doing the same thing over and over again, where he keeps wandering back to the farm to try and work out what happened to him. And the farmer keeps killing him again and burying him again.
Yeah.
And then dumping him by the roadside again. And because the farmer's crazy, he sort of thinks they're friends. Like, he tells Matt, you're the closest thing I've got to a friend. And so, yeah, that's a really interesting story.
I just thought it was a really nice little idea. And a supernatural element without being too bizarre. Even though, of course, it is, you know, that doesn't happen. But I really like that. And it was an interesting idea, like you say, that the guy, the farmer, was a killer. And he's not a good guy. He's not bringing these people back because he's kind and good. He's doing it for thrills. And it was an interesting thing because you sort of think, well, is it okay, really? Well, not is it okay, but is it as bad?
Well, what I liked about this is it is funny how, you know, when you're doing imaginative scenarios, I think a normal response, if you say to somebody, what about a field, and you bury somebody in it, they come back to life. Most people are going to think, oh, so if somebody you loved died,
yeah,
you could bury them and then have them back. I think it takes a sort of special sort of mind, a special sort of horror writer mind, to think, oh, so you could just murder people and then undo it.
Undo it, yeah.
And that's exactly the direction this film goes in. Yeah.
So I really like that. I really like that idea. People would disagree with me, and you probably will. The bit I didn't think was as good was Henry, the whole Henry element. Didn't need it. Didn't really care for it.
I loved Henry.
I knew you would. I absolutely knew you would.
I loved Henry.
Been done before, the freak chained up in the barn. It's a bit, I was a bit like,
Just to explain Henry, for anyone who's decided to listen to this having not seen the film, which I do, I'm always listening to podcasts that spoil films I've not seen. So the farmer, what's his name? Callum. He explains at one point that how the field works is a bit of a mystery and it's a bit hit and miss. Some parts of the field are inert. They just don't do anything. Some parts of the field work better than others. He's discovered that it's almost like fruit ripening. You have to know when to dig them up again.
Mm.
And if you leave somebody in the ground too long, they come out bad. And Henry, who we learn towards the end is actually his son, is somebody who died, who he buried in the field, who came back bad. And he's basically like a sort of gibbering, violent zombie nincompoop.
Yeah.
Is how I'd describe him.
Pretty much.
The first time we see him, I thought was the very effective scare we were talking about. Because, what's his face, Matt is just having a casual wander around his captor's farm. And he goes into a barn and sees this dark figure. And the dark figure lunges towards him, laughing maniacally. But luckily he's got a chain, which means he can't quite get to Matt to eat him.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the film, when Matt and his new friend, who's one of the other captives, are escaping, the farmer, a bit like a hunting dog, sends him after his quarry.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was brilliant.
Just, it's not that I had a massive problem with it. It's just been done so many times, and I was a bit like, I prefer just the thing about the field and the weird farmer being a serial killer. I didn't need it. I liked the scare, and I didn't hate it. I just didn't need it as an extra element, really.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, yeah. But some people were like yourself will really like that. So it's not really a criticism. It just wasn't so much for me.
Sorry, I'm making a rustling noise. Going for a Haribo. I should have waited till you'd stopped talking. I don't know if the camera picked that up. What would I be critical of? I think there's a scene in the middle where Matt says to Callum, once he realises what's going on, he says, why are you doing this? And Callum says, what, killing them or bringing them back? And fair play, Matt sort of looks at him and goes, both! And this is where it becomes clear that he just enjoys killing people. And I thought that scene was written a little, like, the dialogue was a bit obvious. Like, I could almost feel the script writer going, oh, right, I'm going to have to explain this.
Right, yeah.
I'll have them have a conversation about it. The conversation was quite on the nose. I thought maybe that could have been done in a more interesting or organic way, but not to the extent where it bothered me unduly.
No.
Just if in an unlikely scenario where I was given this script and asked to comment on it, that would be one of my notes for improvement. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that didn't bother me. But I think that's fair enough. Yeah, I think
these Harry bows are incredible.
Oh, they're so good, aren't they? Tankastic, it's amazing. I think the main, and it's not even a criticism, because I actually thought it was a really good film, like especially for an amateur film. I think the main thing for me was what we've mentioned. Some of the scenes are slightly too long.
Yeah, it was ponderously paced. It could have been a bit shorter. Do we know how long it is?
I'm not sure, actually.
Well, I can't see it on the DVD case. I don't know,
but I think they could definitely have
it could have been a bit shorter. Yeah, lovely stuff.
How did you interpret the end?
So, to explain the ending, basically, Matt kills Callum. That's the key fact. But before he does, Callum's like saying, oh, what are you going to do, though? Are you going to put me in the ground? Maybe you will, just out of curiosity. Maybe you'll get a taste for it. And then there's an incredibly long shot of Matt sort of looking dramatically past the camera. That went on a bit too long.
Yeah, that went on a bit too long.
Like, thoughtfully. And then it cuts to him taking the bag off a living Callum's head. For some reason, he takes a photo of him. He's got a balaclava on. He looks like he's gone a bit crazy himself. And then he holds up a scalpel and says, hello again. So I interpreted that to mean he's just repeatedly killing Callum and bringing him back. Because he's gone psycho as well now.
See, yeah, that was what I was thinking. Because I think you could interpret it like that. Or you could interpret it as he was just giving him a scare. Because he took a photograph of him. And I wondered whether that was, it was almost like to shake him up.
Maybe to leave it with him as a memento, like a photograph of himself.
Yeah,
looking terrified.
So it was interesting. I think you could interpret that in a few ways, really. But yeah, I like the ending. I thought it was a good ending.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. I think other things I thought about it.
The score was really good.
Yeah, really good.
And the score, as well, really helped with that feeling that we were watching an old film rather than an indie film. You know, a low-budget film, because it really was quite an 80s soundtrack in parts.
It was.
In other parts, it had these weird sort of quite folk horror-sounding strings.
Yeah,
it was almost like a tale of two soundtracks.
But it worked.
Yeah, it definitely worked. Yeah.
I also, and not everyone will agree with me on this either, because this is just something that I frankly don't enjoy. I was really pleased that it wasn't like some of the films are that, I don't know, things like Wolf Creek, Saw, that sort of stuff, and worse, what, Hostel, things like that. It wasn't just torture porn, because when they had some of the victims on the table, I was like, oh, I don't need to see this.
Yeah, what's he going to do?
And he starts messing around with a knife when they're, like, squealing and stuff. But it was enough to make you feel, oh, God, what's going to happen? This is horrible, without showing anything.
Yeah.
Which is the best. I think that's, like, much more, for me, that's always been my preference. I think that's a cleverer way of doing it. I think once you kind of show too much, it's almost like, oh, I feel like it loses something for me. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to watch it. It's gross.
Yeah.
But I prefer that because that scares me more, almost, like the unknown.
Yeah, the only real explicit act of violence was right at the end when Matt shoots Callum.
Yeah.
And they had a very successful special effect for him shooting him in the stomach with a shotgun.
And arguably when he slices Callum, slits Matt's throat. But again, it was more almost slasher horror. It was very quick.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
You're right, it wasn't like Hostel.
No.
When some of the setups might have made you worry, it could have been like Hostel.
And again, I don't think that's because I'm particularly squeamish. It doesn't do anything for me sitting there watching it. And after a while, I just think it loses something. I'm all for that kind of glamour horror, you know, Scream where, you know, just blood shooting everywhere. But that kind of torturous, someone screaming while someone's like cutting bits of their body. It's not for me.
No.
Sorry, horror fans, if you like that, but nah, it's not my bag. So I appreciated the way they did that, and I thought that was good.
There was a better way of doing it. One surprisingly explicit sex scene right at the start.
Oh, boobs ahoy. Hello.
Boobs ahoy.
I was like, okay. I mean, fair play to the lady. She had, you know, a good set, and she wasn't afraid to show them. But yeah.
So at the start of the film, we find out that Matt has been having these regular blackouts where he just vanishes for days, comes back to his home where his wife lives, and he can't explain where he's been because he can't remember. And she right at the beginning of the film, dumps him because she's convinced he's having an affair and apparently can't even be bothered to think of a cover story.
Yeah.
So he just goes off. She thinks he's going off. He's shagging his other woman. And then he comes back and is like, I can't remember where I've been.
And I thought after that, to be fair to her, Callum said he'd been back a dozen times in a year. So he'd been doing that every month.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
So you'd be, if you were the wife, by that, by a year of him going off for a week every month, you'd be like,
yeah, you'd have had
done.
And
done.
Then it cuts to him shagging somebody else.
Yeah.
And the irony is, he is having an affair, but that's not where he's been going. Yeah. But it actually took me, like at first when that scene came on, I thought, oh, he's made up with his wife.
Mm.
And it took me a while to realise it was another woman because there was so much boobage going
on. So much boobage.
Like, I was like, oh, that's a different face. That's not his wife. Eventually I realised. Yeah.
Probably unnecessary, but also fine. You know, she wanted to do it. Great.
Yeah.
I mean, you certainly got the fact that they were having sex. That was...
Yes, unique. It was not an ambiguous scene.
Couldn't misinterpret that, yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
But no, all in all, very well-made film for a low-budget film. And it really held up, I think. It was a good plot as well, so...
Yeah, fair play to them.
They did really well there.
To be honest, this is why I follow indie film.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of... It's really rewarding to discover these small... productions that obviously a lot of love and care and thought and imagination has gone into. And like occasionally you watch an indie film that almost just doesn't function as a film because you can't get into it enough. You can't suspend disbelief enough.
Yeah.
Whereas this film really, you know, did what a film is meant to do, which is engross us for an hour and a half or whatever it is.
And I actually think it was better than I thought it would be in terms of how professional it was.
Yeah, defo.
So, yeah, they should be very proud of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so a well-deserved 4 stars for the fellow field. Right, what I suggest we do now, so I don't... I think, well, we established that this doesn't have enough reviews on Rotten Tomatoes to have a rating. But
just two tomatoes.
There are two ratings on that, and there are also some user reviews. So although we can't play our usual game of try to guess the tomato score...
unfortunately, we can have a look.
I think we should check them out, but before we do... How about a quiz?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. We'll have a jingle. We'll have a quiz. We'll probably have another jingle, knowing how I edit the show.
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll check it. Yeah, then we'll... Yeah, I've got two jingles. I love both of them dearly. And then we'll see what's going on Rotten Tomatoes.
Great. Quiz me up.
Okay. Same format as last time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a mix of multiple choice.
Winning format.
Yeah. Films with pun titles and quickfire rounds. But the theme is animals.
Okay.
So are you ready to hear your first plot summary?
I'm ready.
Did I say we were doing a quiz?
I don't know, but we are.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, guys. If we didn't say, it's quiz time.
Yeah. Neville Frankenstein asks his doting mom to provide him with some corpses so he can make himself a bride. When she refuses, he makes do with the contents of his fridge. Chaos ensues when he accidentally brings a blank back to life. And I'll give you a clue. It's an animal that's rarely associated with horror.
Okay.
So that's the plot summary.
Yeah.
Is it called Frankenstein's Lobster? Prawn of the Dead. Children of the Prawn.
Oh, good one.
Shrimp My Bride. Or is it not a real film and I just made it up?
God, this is a toughie. This is a toughie. Right, I'm going to go with my instinct.
Yeah.
Frankenstein's Lobster.
Hannah made it up. Oh! It's not a real film.
I thought you had, and then I thought, no, this is the sort of thing that could be a film. Oh, very nicely done. Nicely done.
Okay, no points for you in that round.
Whack, whack, whack.
Right, here's your next plot summary. A killer blank from outer space crash lands on Earth and brings death and destruction to everyone in its path. And again, the blank is an animal that's rarely associated with horror. Is it called Gazelle to Pay? Llamageddon. paranormal yaktivity, the taking of Zebra Logan, or is it not a real film and I made it up?
Try me again, what happens?
A killer blank from outer space, so either a gazelle, a llama, a yak, or a zebra, from outer space, crash lands on Earth and brings death and destruction to everyone in its path.
I'm going to say you made it up because I don't know why that any of those would be in space.
Hannah didn't make it up. It's Llamageddon.
That's what I would have gone with.
I'm sorry, Hannah. No points. No points at all.
I can't think when I'm this carbs. Mash on the brain.
Okay. Are you ready for the quick fire round?
I'm ready.
So it's common for low-budget productions to have titles that sound similar to more famous films. I'm going to read out some movie titles that sound suspiciously like Paranormal Activity, and you have to say real or not real.
Okay.
And I've made a spreadsheet, because last time we did a quick fire round, I didn't have a clue how many you'd got right or wrong. So let's see if this spreadsheet helps. Are you ready, Han?
I'm ready.
Okay. Paranormal Shark.
False.
Shark Activity.
True.
Abnormal Activity.
False.
Paranoid Activity.
False.
Nocturnal Activity.
True.
Supernatural Activity.
Two. True.
Poltergeist Activity.
True.
Paranormal Captivity.
False.
Paranormal Festivity.
False.
Paranormal Sex Tape.
True.
Paranormal Nativity.
True.
Paranormal Adoption.
False.
Paranormal Calamity.
True.
Paralympic Activity.
True.
Paranormal Great Antilly.
False.
Right.
I wish that one was true, though.
Let's have a look. How many did you get right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's more than half.
Yes!
So you've got 10p in the prize fund.
Excellent. Whew. God. I was right. Looking a fool then.
So do you want to hear the films that were true?
Yes, please.
Paranoid Activity.
Yeah.
Nocturnal Activity. Mm-hmm. Supernatural Activity. Poltergeist Activity. Paranormal Captivity. Mm. Paranormal Sex Tape. Paranormal Adoption.
Oh, after I laughed at that one.
Yeah, and Paranormal Calamity.
Huh.
So those were the ones that were true. There was, looks like 15, and you got more than half of them correct. Oh, well done, Han. 10p in the prize fund.
Thanks. Oh, phew.
Right, so we now have some more multiple choice questions. Here's your plot summary. The guys on level 6 like to work hard and party harder. That means the best booze, the finest drugs, and the hottest women money can buy. Unfortunately for them, the strippers they've just hired have come with an unwanted guest. Jacob Jacucci, the infamous stripper ripper with an oversized blank mask and a taste for exotic dancers, has these girls in his sights and he'll stop at nothing to get what he wants. It's now strippers versus blank-headed serial killer as they fight to survive the office party from hell. And again, the blank is an animal that's rarely associated with horror.
Okay. Sounds like a great film.
Is it called Pandemonium?
Ooh.
Yak the Ripper. Vlad the Impala. Mm-hmm. The Horse Awakens. Or did I make it up?
What was the first one?
Pandemonium.
Vlad the Impala.
And it's Pandemonium.
Oh,
it is
God.
A real film, though.
Oh.
It is a real film, but I'm afraid it's Pandemonium. My favourite of those was actually The Horse Awakens.
The Horse Awakens. That was quite a good random one. I was thinking of, you know, Vlad the Impaler and strippers, and it was, yeah, I was going down the wrong road there.
Yeah, I don't actually know what an impala is. Is it like a springbok or something?
Isn't it?
I don't know what a springbok is.
That's like a deer, a springbok.
Well, we'll Google it later.
Yeah. Anyway, wrong. Incorrect, okay. Han. Oh.
Yeah, so still 10p in the prize.
Absolute howler of a week today.
Okay, your next plot summary.
Okay.
Carl has lived his whole life in Boston, Massachusetts, but shortly before he enrolls at Harvard, he's summoned to his ancestral home in England. His father warns him that, on the first full moon of his 18th year, and every full moon thereafter, he will turn into a mindless beast, but not the one you might expect. Never mind an American werewolf, this is an American wereblank.
Oh.
And yet again, blank is an animal that's rarely associated with horror. So does he turn into an antelope, and it's called the mantelope? Does he turn into a fish, and it's called the manchevy? Does he turn into a hippo, and it's called hippopotaman? Or is he a werecat, and it's called comparethewerecat.com? Or did I make it up?
Oh, God. Mantelope.
Hannah made it
up. Ah!
You've still got 10p. You've still got 10p in the prize fund.
Oh, thank God. I can still buy a fruit salad or something.
But there's another quickfire round. So, fruit salad. Is it the sweet?
Not like a fruit salad.
Yeah, because they cost over a quid.
At least. Come on.
You've got another quickfire round. This is just, there's no theme.
Okay.
Just context-free titles of films. You have to say if they're real or not real.
Okay.
And again, there's 15 of them, and you've got to get more than half of them right to get the 10p.
Right, okay. Serious time.
Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Ant Farm Dick Hole. Zombie F. Kennedy.
True.
Purgatorium.
True.
Purgatarian.
False.
Abnormis.
False.
Hot Yoga Massacre.
True.
Piranha Man versus Werewolf Man.
True.
Colon.
Nope.
I'm not finished. Colon. Howl of the Piranha.
True.
No One Likes Dennis.
True.
Ouija Detective.
True.
Cannibals of Cardiff Bay.
False.
Stay Out of the Fucking Attic.
True.
Return to Blood Fart Lake.
True.
Help! I've turned to wood!
False.
Evil Bong 3, The Wrath of Bong.
True.
Shark, you son of a bitch.
True.
Right, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 right. Well done.
Yes! What ones did I get wrong?
What ones did you get wrong? Ant Farm Dick Hole, that was true.
Bizarre.
Abnormis. That was true. Hot Yoga Massacre, I made that up. So you got that one wrong. No One Likes Dennis, I made that one up. Ouija Detective, I made that one up.
That was
all
like
the rest you
one.
Got right. So the real ones were Ant Farm Dick Hole, Zombie F. Kennedy, Purgatorium, Abnormis, Stay Out of the Fucking Attic, Return to Blood Farts Lake, Evil Bong 3, The Wrath of Bong, and Shark, You Son of a Bitch. Now, I sort of cheated a bit with Shark, You Son of a Bitch, because it's currently filming. So it's not out yet, but it is a real film, and I love the title so much I wanted to include it.
Well, and you love sharks.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you kind of made it sound earlier like there'd be no sharks in this one, but still,
there's been a few. Yeah. And according to IMDb, they've already announced a sequel called Shark, You Son of a Bitch. I can't wait to see those
films.
That
sounds incredible.
So, Han, you've got 20p in the prize fund. And as with last time, it all rides on this last question.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So it's not multiple choice. It's just the summary of a film and the name of the film. You've got to say if it's real or not real.
Okay.
If you get it right, you go home with 20p.
That's like what? Fruit salad and a blackjack.
All right, are you ready to hear the summary?
I'm ready.
During his gap year, Travis goes on an illegal hunting expedition in a South African game reserve. While he's there, he makes the mistake of shooting a critically endangered blank. 1 year later, as a college freshman, he finds himself hunted by the vengeful spirit of the creature he killed. And as with all the questions we've had today, the blank is an animal that's rarely associated with horror. The name of the film is Rhino, What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, very good.
So is it a real film or did I make it up?
Oh, God. I think you made it up.
And you're going home with 20p.
Yes!
Well done.
Come on.
Well done.
Come on. Oh, thank God I redeemed myself slightly at the end.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think you'll spend it on?
Well, say, I mean, with inflation as it is, maybe just like a fruit chew of some sort or a banana. I could probably get a banana. There you go.
One banana.
Yeah. Well, you know, nice. Worth it.
So we're now looking for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. I don't have mine. There we go.
Give another little... Give one of the cherries. The tangy cherries.
Yeah, finish them off if you want. I think I'm good.
Ooh.
Right.
Do love Haribo. But they don't agree with me.
Right. So the two tomatoes. So we've got one from Nayla Scargill from Exquisite Terror. And she says... Intelligent filmmaking that genuinely keeps you guessing, to culminate in some palpable tension come the third act.
I think that's perfectly fair. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's that magazine called? Exquisite Terror.
Exquisite Terror.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I'll keep an eye out for that.
Too. And then Anton Beetel from MovieScope says, this genuine high point for ultra-low budget British horror may be an utterly crazy tale full of unbelievable incident. But turn it over in your mind and there is a harrowing subtext lying beneath its surface just waiting to be unearthed.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
And a good little play on words with unearthed.
Unearthed, yeah, I thought that. Yeah, that was it from the critics. Let's see what the audience say. So, oh, there's one audience review and that's it.
Oh, really?
From Alan C. Thanks, Alan.
Well, let's see what Alan has to say.
A nice little low-budget British horror movie. Interesting premise, a bit Pet Sematary, worth seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Nice one, Alan.
Can't fault any of the reviews.
That's so funny, though, because it says audience score, like, it's audience reviews under 50. It didn't say one. But, oh, okay, just the one from Alan. But we appreciated it, Alan. Thanks. So... I guess the next question is, what's next?
Yeah, good question.
Mm.
So we've done a fairly obscure, low-budget indie film.
Yep.
Do we need to go back to the classics?
Like a classic, a classic oldie? Or...
Do we need to go through Matt Glasby's Book of Horror? Yeah.
Which I finally brought back to
yes,
you
today.
Yes, you
have. It's on the pile of crap.
Yeah, it's...
And not that it's crap. I'm That's just what we creating. Call the pile.
In pile of crap. Oh.
Yeah, no. It's the pile of quality.
How are we doing it?
So, I have here in my hands The Book of Horror, The Anatomy of Fear in Film, a fantastic book by Matt Glasby about the scariest films ever made, with illustrations by Barney Bodoano. I'm sorry, Barney, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Well, I hope I've got Glasby right. Maybe I'm saying that wrong as
no,
well.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah. So what we should do is I reckon if I read out the films in order,
yeah,
our next film should be the first one that neither of us have seen.
Yeah. Oh, I like this game.
Okay. Right. In order. Psycho.
Sin.
The Innocents. We did a podcast
on
that.
We did do a podcast.
We had Matt Glasby on.
We did. We
recorded
a
wonderful segment for us. The Haunting, 1963.
Seen.
Don't Look Now, 1973. I've seen that one.
Seen, yeah.
I've not heard of this one. The Exorcist.
Oh, what is that? sounds, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Seen.
Who Can Kill a Child?
Oh.
I've not seen that. But
is that a question or a film?
Well, both.
I've not seen that.
Neither have I. Let's see. Do you know what? I'm going to suggest we pass on this because I don't think it will be for either of us.
Is it a bit grim?
I'll just read the very beginning of the section on Who Can Kill a Child. Writer-director Narciso Ibanez Serrador's controversial Spanish chiller begins with some of the most upsetting footage ever seen in horror cinema.
Sounds brilliant! No, alright. I have a feeling it might be... I mean, don't get me wrong, I can do dark... I don't know how dark we want to go on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? I mean, it is for entertainment at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave that to the academics.
Yeah.
Tell your beats, guys.
Suspiria,
No, not seen that.
Neither have I, and it's an absolute stone cold classic.
Oh, maybe that's the one then.
Do you know anything about it?
Nothing, no.
Should we see if there's a bit of spoiler free Suspiriana in the relevant chapter? Let's have a look. Page 49. As I'm flipping through these pages, this is such a beautiful book.
I know, the illustrations are amazing in this book.
Okay. The opening to Dario Argento's glorious gale force horror is so intense, it is not clear whether the film, or the viewer, will recover. Unusually for the Italian maestro, whose previous gialli thrived on outlandish narrative about turns, the plot is simple. American ballet student Susie Bannion, brackets Jessica Harper, arrives at the Freiburg Dance Academy, brackets actually a witch's coven, during a storm, just missing a double murder. But as ever with Argento, it is not what happens, but how. Sounds superb.
Sounds brilliant. I'm up for that. Yeah. You are.
I am absolutely 100% up for it. Do you know, I've actually read this whole book.
I was going to say, I've read most of it as well, but I don't really remember that.
I don't remember what happens in the film,
no.
Which is the key thing. I don't remember how many spoilers are in that
chapter. To be fair, also, I borrowed it off you and read it and then didn't give it back to you for like a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, yeah, superb.
Super.
All right, so our next film, we're going for an absolute classic, Suspiria.
Suspiria. Till then.
Yeah, nice.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.